Hi, everybody. Welcome to SEND Network's ongoing Training for Trainers resource. Thanks for joining us on our journey to learn together how to make your transformational training even better. We want to encourage and empower you to keep growing in your confidence and competence as a trainer. Now, here are the hosts for today.
Hi, everybody. I'm Rick Duncan with SEND Network Training, and we want to thank you as a trainer of church planters for listening to the podcast and for training church planters. We really appreciate it. With me here today is my co-host, and that is Peyton Jones out on the West Coast. So, Peyton, how you doing today? What's happening with you?
Well, I'm doing pretty good, man. I'm getting ready to get back in my house, which has had no hot water, no gas, and we've moved the gas mains, the electricity, and the power. So I'm feeling like my life fell apart just enough for me to be ready to church plant again.
So when that house comes back together, that's like D-Day for church planting, right?
That's right, man. They're going to hit the shores, man, and their Amtraks, and you know, drop the front of those hovercrafts, and we're ready to go, man. We're going to take the beach, and I live right next to the beach, so that's a good analogy.
Yeah. Good. So with us today, we have Jason, Raiden, and Mike. These are guys that are doing some great work for Jesus in the St. Louis, Missouri area. So guys, introduce yourself to us a little bit. We'll start with Jason, then we'll go with Raiden, then we'll go to Mike.
Yeah, I'm Jason Zelmer, and I just want to say thanks for having me on today. So I've been a part of church planting for about 15 years now. We planted our first church in 2005 in St. Charles, right outside of St. Louis, and then planted again in 2010. And just this year, on April 1st, Easter Sunday, we launched our third church, and have really just seen God work. Have been a trainer with SEND Network Training for almost 2 years now, leading our second cohort. And in my spare time, I'm also the director of a ranch, a big kind of Christian retreat center that's about 30 minutes outside of St. Louis.
Wow, thank you. How about you, Raiden?
Yep, I'm Raiden Hollis, and planted a church here in Edwardsville, Illinois, in the St. Louis Metro East. And this is my first cohort to do any training with. I also am on the care team for the St. Louis SEND Network, and a huge heart to see churches planted, because I think it's the best way to reach a local community is with a local church. So I want to see more and more planted. I'm glad to be part of it.
Yeah, thank you. And Mike?
Yes, sir. My name is Mike Woodymore. I'm new to church planting. We've planted here in Belleville, Illinois, which is in the metro east of St. Louis, just about 20 minutes from downtown. And this is my first time just planting a church and being a part of this incredible community. And I'm not new to ministry. This is the start of my 16th year in full-time pastoral ministry. But boy, church planting is a beast all of its own. And so grateful to be a part of it. And I'm honored to be a part of today. And the hope is that this would be an encouragement to those guys that are investing into guys that, like me, are new to this whole thing.
Yeah. Well, that's great. Well, hey, thanks for being on the front lines, man. And no pressure. You know, Jason's on his third church plant. So it's like, hey, when are you going to plant your third church? Let's go. What's wrong with
you? Yeah, I hear you, man. I'm only in week five of my first one, so I need a little
more. All right, well, we'll cut you just a little bit of slack then.
Appreciate that.
Thank you. Well, it's just taken me three times to get it right, and it still isn't right.
So I get a text message from Charles Campbell. He sends a message out to our entire SEND Network training team. And Mikey passed along your word, so I'm going to read it. You said, and he quoted you to us, "I've been in ministry for 16 years and not had any training that so totally reshaped how I think and what I do when it comes to ministry and specifically church planting. I look forward to my cohort every time we meet and will miss being with the guys and learning from them. Thank you for what you guys do." And so I want to thank you for sending that message, which has had a ripple effect. It's just very encouraging for all of us to do what we do. But let me just ask you, how has SEND Network Training, these are your words, totally reshaped how you think and what you do? How's that happened?
You know, I had a chance to grab Charles to tell him this, because I just believe so much that what I've been able to be a part of once a month over the course of just about a year now, it has really reshaped. You know, the thing about full-time vocational ministry is you spend so much time trying to apply what you're learning, but you're not always being trained or equipped. You know, you kind of go to seminary or you go off to Bible college, you're given these basic tools, and then you just kind of sent out and you're at the disposal of the local church and maybe whatever you can glean. And ultimately the School of Hard Knocks becomes kind of your ongoing continued education. Because, you know, the theory of ministry and the practice are sometimes very different. And I've not had an investment like this over the course of my time in ministry. And I've certainly not had one that's made such a radical impact. Truly how I think about ministry, how I approach vision casting, how I approach multiplication, how I approach developing team and fundraising, and just all of this has been so vitally important that I now feel like I'm equipped, that I have the tools that I can refer back to and continue to apply and reapply so that I can be hopefully successful in meeting the challenges that planting will ultimately bring my way. It's taught me to rethink about how I approach ministry all the way around, that it's not just simply about having a strategy, but it's about applying these different competencies so that I'm growing as a leader, that I'm growing as a follower of Christ, so that I can be effective in being strategic for the needs of my plant and the needs of my city. And so it's been so much, I think most guys, they go to conferences, they go to these different events. I know I was very guilty of this. You go to these things and you're just looking for, give me one nugget, give me one truth, give me one piece of wisdom that I can go back and apply to my team or apply to my context. And you're just hoping it's going to change instead of really seeing how I need to be shaped and how I need to be changed as the man of God that's been thrusted into this context. And so when I apply these competencies to my life, I become better and I become more focused and more honed so that the ministry that I touch and the ministry that I conduct ultimately gets better. So it's really reshaped me on multiple levels. And the content certainly has done that. And I might be a little biased or blessed here, but the guys that are leading this training have been influential in bringing the content to life and helping me apply it in ways that I really didn't have any clue when I first stepped in what I was to even expect. So I'm sure that the training is equally, if not more important than the content that you're being trained on.
Give us an example of a story where you kind of realize, gosh, this training is really helping me. I wouldn't be doing this right now if it weren't for this training.
I got to tell you, the vision frame, this, I don't even know what to call it. It's like this revolutionary, incredible tool, but it's also mind-boggling all at the same time, has been such an eye-opening resource for me in understanding what my strategy is, what my mission is, what my vision is, what our metrics are, how to measure what we're doing. That has been revolutionary for me in applying how we grow and how we plant and how we become very focused in accomplishing what it is that we've set out to do.
Jason and Raiden, first of all, thank you for investing in Mike and the other planters there in St. Louis. You've obviously had a huge impact in Mike's life and in his church plant. What is it about Mike specifically that inspires you as a trainer? Which one of you wants to take a shot at that first?
Yeah, I'll go first. Mike is one of those guys that is just hungry to learn, and he asks a lot of questions. You can see him from training to training. You know, each month when we meet, Mike comes back and he's sharing about ways that he's been putting the training into practice, and it's really been impacting him. And I think that he serves and works in a lot of humility and love, and has really just been an ideal guy. I mean, you know, maybe that's a little bit biased too, but he's like the guy that you'd want to have in your training, because you can tell, you know, even as you're doing the training and he's just jotting down notes ferociously, that he really is eager to learn and he wants to be there.
Wow. What would you add to that, Raiden?
Well, I would say pretty much the same thing. Just what I love about training Mike is, you know, he's putting the work in on the front side. So he does the homework. He labors in that work so that he can harvest a lot. And also, one of my favorite things about Mike is he is eminently coachable. So if we offer a piece of coaching or one of the guys in his cohort presses on him and some of the group coaching time, he takes that to heart and he does everything he can to integrate the very best pieces of the wisdom that's offered to him. And so that's so rewarding for a trainer to say, it would be really great if you could take a look at this piece, and then to see the planter go, take that piece, take a hard look at it, and come back and say, based on the training that you gave me, I've made this change. It's really rewarding as a trainer to get to experience that with him.
So Mike, what are some things that you've observed about both Jason and Raiden that make them great at training? What are some things that you see?
The thing that makes them, I think, distinct, but also allows them to be very effective at this is Jason has a lot of experience. And I think could, if he wanted to, be the guy that has the strongest, most profound voice in the room as an authority on church planting. But he takes his experience and leads from a place of humility that, you know, he's made some mistakes along the way. He's learned some things along the way, but has gleaned a tremendous amount of wisdom and experience that is very beneficial for guys that are especially planting in a context that I am. So Jason has the ability to understand, has the ability to share wisdom, and you see his heart and his humility come through in the stories that he shares and in the way that he approaches this. He's got a very priestly approach in how he integrates his wisdom into the training. And that makes it a joy to be around because you've got a guy that you know that cares and isn't just yielding the big stick that he could because he's got this tremendous volume of experience. On the other side, you've got Raiden, who's an incredibly strategic thinker. I always say that Raiden speaks and thinks and tweets, you know, that like the way that guy talks to you, just, oh my gosh, that's so good. You know, and just you're writing that down because he has a way to not only strategically help you apply the wisdom that you're receiving, but he does so in a very concise and simple way. And so, man, a combination of Raiden's strategic mind takes the move, it moves this information about competency and this training, it moves it from being just something that you're walking through to being very applicable and so that you can use it in the context that you're in. But again, both of these guys combined, they really press you to grow. They press you to think, they press you to speak and not just sit and listen and retain information and take notes. So, and they are a dynamic duo when it comes to training and church planting. That, and I'll stand by that 100%.
You talked about humility. It was interesting. They talked about your humility. So it makes me think, man, the best training happens in a context of humility when trainer and the person being trained are exhibiting humility. You know, great things can happen. So I just want to encourage and applaud all three of you for that kind of an environment. So both these guys are in the room at the same time when you're being trained, right? And yes. So we see a principle in Ecclesiastes chapter 4, you know, two are better than one. So Raiden, why don't you take this on first? How do you see the two better than one principle play itself out when it comes to leading your cohort?
Well, I think, first of all, you're not responsible for all the material to present. There is a lot of movement. There is a lot of preparation work that goes into training. And to be able to have someone by your side to say, I can lead out in these pieces, you lead out in those pieces. You know, I'll take care of setting out snacks and setting up this week. You take care of it, you know, the next time we meet. Be able to share some of those responsibility loads is a huge blessing and benefit. But also, just as you sense the Spirit moving, there are a lot of places where I feel less secure and less confident to be able to speak on a subject. And so I'll sense and observe Jason as we're training. And, you know, when his ears kind of perk up and he leans in a little bit and kind of picks up a little straighter, I'll just say, hey, Jason, can you speak on this for just a minute? Just a little hard on this for just a minute. And to be able to sort of play off of each other's strengths and weaknesses, I think really improves the quality of the training.
Yeah. Well, that kind of sounds like you're being sensitive to the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, I think that's a critical piece. You know, I think being sent to the Holy Spirit is the only way you can be a good trainer.
Yeah, that's so cool. That's rich. What would you add to that, Jason?
Yeah, I would just add to that, you know, with training with Raiden, you know, as we think about just who God is, you know, in prophet, priest, and king, all the different attributes of God, I think that the most effective training that we can have is when you have different guys that are in the room that may be able to exhibit through the giftings that God has given them different characteristics. And I would definitely say with Raiden, he's got a very prophetic voice, much stronger than I have. And just as Mike was talking about, I mean, you can literally tweet when you're in the room and Raiden is training, you could tweet almost everything that he's saying, because that's just how his mind works. And he also has this incredible ability to be able to remember everything. I mean, it's nuts. And so, like, you know, just this last time we were training, it was his time to give a strategic narrative. And when I do a strategic narrative, you know, I have to really work my mind to think about a story. And, you know, I might bring one to the table where Raiden had seven that he had written down as possibilities, and then he kind of just chose one on the fly. And so he's just got a mind that is very strong. And I think that he adds an element, you know, to the training that I just don't have. And I think because of that, guys are more more thoroughly and trained in a more rounded way that is really helpful for him.
Can I ask you guys, each of you, Jason and Raiden, what, you know, one of the things that we're always trying to do is we're trying to push our trainers towards how they can grow. So for example, if Rick and I were leading a train the trainer, we would pull out what we call our traits of a great trainer. And we would go over them and I'd say, hey, which one are you working on? And this is what I'm working on. This is how I want to kind of improve my game this time around. Mm-hmm. Keep an eye on me for asking great follow-up questions. Keep an eye on me for my preparation and internalization of the content, whatever it is. And so each of us has our traits of a great trainer, and we want that to be an ongoing tool. Not really referring to that specifically for you guys in asking this question, but what have been some ways that you have personally felt you have grown during this time around, this rotation of Sin Network training?
Yeah, I can jump in first. I want to say first, one of the things that we talk a lot about in St. Louis is trying to develop a culture of honor inside of our brotherhood. So we have tried to eliminate sarcasm and tearing each other down in a joking way. So a big piece that's brought for me is, you know, church planting puts all of your insecurity on display. And then stepping in as a planter who's going to train planter, your insecurity just goes through the roof. You know, like, here, I'm going to try and tell you how to do this. And I'm still trying to learn how to do it myself. And one of the things that Jason and I consistently do is when we finish our training, we'll talk together about specific things that we saw in one another that were good, and specific moments in the training. You did a great job with this. Thanks so much for contributing this. And those specific things, what they've done for me is I know that Jason has a heart to honor me as a trainer and as a brother in Christ. And when he gives me specific words of encouragement and specific things, especially areas where I felt like maybe I took a bit of a risk and took a stronger initiative, it gives me a lot more confidence as a trainer to step up to the mic and just take a swing.
What would you tell the guys that are out there who think, okay, you know, coordinating with another trainer, you know, making sure that we communicate before the session, that's just too much work. I'm just going to do it by myself. What would you tell that guy, that trainer, that's tempted to just go it alone?
Yeah, I mean, I'd tell him, you would never tell a planter to do that. You would never tell a church planter, go out and just plant it by yourself, man. It there are logistical requirements, but again, if there's a culture that there's a culture of humility, and when there's a culture of honor between each other, sometimes Jay-Z plans all of it out. Sometimes I plan all of it out. We leave each other the freedom to say, I don't really want that piece. Can I do the other piece? I think I'd probably say that's really foolish, man. That's just really dumb. And not only that, but you're cheating those guys in your cohort out of another perspective and another voice. And the more godly counsel that we can bring into the situation, the more perspectives that we can bring into the training to help us see the content in new directions and new angles, the better it's going to be. And it's really about them and benefiting them, not about what makes us the most comfortable.
Yeah, I can see the tweetable nature of what you said. That's really dumb, man. That's really foolish. You know, I can tweet that. You want to train by yourself? That's dumb, man.
I would add to that too. You know, for Raiden and I both, I think that if we're going to do anything, we want to do it with excellence. And so as him and I both come to the table, I know for me, even before we sit down to do a training, it's about 10 hours of prep work. It's, you know, going through all the notes, making sure that I understand the content. It's setting up the room. It's all those different things. And that's just with me doing half of the training and Raiden doing the other half. And so if a guy just thought, man, I'm going to go in and I'm going to do this on my own. I mean, unless NAM is paying you full time to be a trainer and you've got all week to prepare and, you know, you feel like you can do that, it's just impossible to do it effectively. So I think that having two guys that are doing it together is just, it's key to doing it well.
Yeah.
I think it's part of our DNA as a network as well. I mean, our network is built on brotherhood, on restoration, and on multiplication. You multiply one by one and all you get is one. So if we're going to multiply, we've got to make space for other voices to be in the room. There's no hope of multiplication unless we're making space for other voices in the room.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's so rich. Well, I want to thank you guys for modeling for all of us the love, really, that you have for planters, like the love you have specifically for Mike, to spend the time necessary in order to make sure that we're going to give him our very best. As we've been talking here for these few minutes, thank you guys for your creativity. Thank you guys for displaying honor. Thank you for your passion, your diligence, your preparation, the concept of brotherhood, love, and humility. All of that, I'm just feeling it. Strongly, and you know, Mike is a testimony of the change that he's experienced because of who you are, Jason, and who you are, Raiden. And I thank you, Mike. You display those things as well. So, you guys are indeed trainers that we can learn from. So thank you for doing that.
Thanks for having us on the podcast today.
Yeah. Thank you, guys.
God bless you guys. When I'm sure we'll be talking soon.
Thanks. Take care.
Thanks for listening today. Our mission at Send Network Training is to equip multiplying leaders with reproducible systems to plant more healthy churches. You can follow us on Twitter at Send Network Trainers or on Facebook at Send Network Church Planter Trainers. You can also find our podcast on iTunes. This podcast was made possible by the Send Network of the North American Mission Board.